turn your Bible to John chapter number 8 this morning. Now, I'm going to try to preach, but I'm so full, I don't know if I can get anything out. I look around this room while Brother Todd was singing, and I started right there in that chair with myself, and saw Stacy back there and Roger and some of these guys I've known all my life. And I thought, man, if we were what we used to be, we probably wouldn't still be living. And it sure isn't our goodness or us turning over a new leaf. It's a change God did in our lives. Man, I just bless His name for it this morning. Amen. Y'all testify. I can testify every now and then. I just want to say I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Hallelujah, man. We could leave right now and say it's good to be in church. I know, don't get the idea. Some of you are saying, that's a good idea. Let's go. But no, it's preaching time. And Lord willing, if I can get myself pulled together here in John chapter number 8, I want us to look at a very familiar story in John chapter number 8. And I'll give you a thought the Lord laid on my heart. As I was at the bank, I had a meeting with a banker on Friday, and the banker I've been working with could only go so far, so I had to meet the banker above her. So we met with the guy above her, and he made a statement or two, and it just really got me to thinking. And anyway, that's where the message came from this morning. John chapter number 8, in verse number 1, the Bible said, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now when Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They don't care what Moses said. They just want to know what Jesus has to say. Amen. And they said, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his fingers. I can't wait to get to heaven and find out what he wrote. In my own theology or my own idea, I think he may have just drew an arrow. You'll get that later, maybe. And Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone, or let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And he said unto her, I like this, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Sitting at the bank on Friday, and the guy that's over the whole shebang there, he was making introductory statements, and you know, I was introduced to Levi. Levi went with me, and we were just kind of making small talk, and he said, well, I want to know a little about you. I want to know about your church and a little history. He said, I've been on the internet, and he said, I've done a little research, and he said, I know. Now this was a statement that he made. Please don't anybody fall out with me right here. He said, I know from what I've read that you're Hiles Anderson, King James Bible. Where he got Hiles Anderson, I don't know. I didn't go to nobody's school. Amen. That's why I get to preach for all that crowd, them that hate each other's guts. I don't owe none of them nothing, amen? He said, you're Hiles, Anderson, King, James, Independent, Fundamental, Primula, and he started naming all that stuff. And I'm thinking while he's saying this, he's already, by what we say we are, he already has a picture in his mind of who I am. And I'm thinking, because of something you read on the internet, buddy, you don't know who I am. And you don't know what I am. Am I Baptist to the bone? Somebody said, I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, I die, be Baptist dead. Amen. I was raised in a Baptist church, but I'm not a Baptist because I was born that way or because I was raised that way. I'm a Baptist because it lines up with that book right there. Amen. And I am an independent Baptist. In other words, we're not a part of an association. We don't have a big boss in Atlanta telling us what to do. We have a big boss sitting on the throne in glory, and we answer to him, and he is the ruler over this set right here. Amen. But I begin to think, as I left there, the stigma. We're living in a day when a lot of people are taking Baptist off their name. Well, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. And I understand. Somebody said, well, we're just trying to get away from the stigma of what it means to be an independent fundamental Baptist.
Come on, preacher.
I like part of the stigma.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I like the fact that he threw that, I know you're King James. I said, yeah, we are. But a lot of that other stuff that he was thinking, we aren't. The first thing that comes to people's mind when they think about going to church, hypocrites. I'm going to be judged for this, and I'm going to be judged for that, and I'm going to be judged for this, and I'm going to be judged for that. What got quiet on me? Scared to death what to wear when I walk in there. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? I'm treading on some thin ground here, but I'm going to tread it. Now, you mark it down, this church will never go contemporary as long as I got breath in my body.
Amen.
We're never going to change our Bible. You can count on it being here till the day I'm dead.
Amen.
And I believe there's some coming along behind me that'll carry that same banner. Amen?
Amen.
We ain't changing.
Right.
But I do want to tell you something. Here's what the banker's thinking. You hate people.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. But you're above everybody else. Because you're independent, fundamental, King James, blah, 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 blah. Because you're all these little, I don't know the correct term, because you fit in all this criteria, that means that you're sitting up here looking down your nose at everybody else. And I brought it back real quick, and I said, oh, wait a minute, I'm a bus kid. I rode a bus to church. I ain't got no paper hanging on my wall. I'm not a registered dog. I'm a mutt. Amen. I'm a Heinz 57. Somebody said, you ever study your family tree? I'm afraid to. Amen. Somebody help me right there. Somebody said, oh, you ought to get on that ancestry.com. Nuh-uh, not me. I don't want to know who's back there because they ain't no telling. What I was trying to convey to the man was, look here, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. That's all I ever will be. Anything good about me is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing. The most evidenced or the most spiritual gift in the church is the spirit of criticism. Everybody's got it. Somebody help me right there. I think we have people in the church who feel like their calling in life is to see what's wrong with everybody else. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about some things in the church that are easy to do. And I'm going to give them to you real quick. I know what time it is. Let me say, number one, it's easy to find fault. It is easy to find fault. That if you're looking for trouble, you're in the right place. You looking for jacked up people, you're in the right place. You looking for people with a messed up life? You in the right place. You looking for people with some baggage and some history? You in the right place, because we got a house full of them. You say, well, I want to go to church where everybody's holy and everybody, oh yeah, they might look that way. There's a difference between looks and reality.
Amen.
Amen. I forgot what movie star it was. My wife and I were in the checkout line at Publix the other day, and I forgot who that was. You don't neither. We was looking at one of them magazines as you're checking out, and it had one of them big-time stars, and it said she was 60, Christy Brinkley, 60 years old. She was a hottie when I was 4. Is that okay to say? Anyway. I mean, seriously, man, when I was a teenager, she was like a supermodel. She's 60 years old, and she still looks just like she did then. Something's wrong. Like old Pamela Anderson, we used to call her Plastic Pam, amen? Created Christy, how about that? Just because something looks good don't mean it is good. Amen. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Easiest job in the church is to find fault. Finding fault is easy to do. Hey, we got this gal and we've caught her in adultery. Caught her in the very act. Here she is. You know why it's so easy to find fault? Let me just go ahead and just state for the record, I am a certified, registered fault finder.
Yeah.
Do you know why I'm so qualified to find fault? And do you know why you're so good at it? Because you're qualified to find fault. You know what qualifies you? You faulty. You can relate. Somebody help me right there. We are so good at finding fault because we have so much of the same in our own lives. The Bible said there is none good, no, not one. Well, I'm a good Christian. You say, that might work if somebody else calls you that.
Yeah.
But when you put that title on yourself, that's a little arrogant right there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You might be living a little higher up on the totem pole than you think you really ought to be.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? Amen. We're so good at finding faults because we got so much of it ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Hey, I don't have no problem finding fault, especially yours.
Yeah.
Amen. They didn't have any trouble finding fault. That's because they were sinners too.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we as Christians, God does a great work in our life and we forget what we were and where we were, and we think somehow God has appointed us to go around and point at everybody else.
Yeah.
I got a little old bird dog. And she is, I mean, buddy, she is a sport. You let her, she ain't never had a lick of training. I mean, nothing whatsoever. It's just natural to her. I let her out the door, and she sneaks like a cat over behind my truck. There's always birds over in the left-hand side of my yard, and she sneaks over like that. And then she sees them birds, and she'll point. She'll lift that little leg up, and that tail will stick straight up, and she'll point them birds. I said, I see them. I tell her, go get them. I mean, she's 4 or 5 months old. She'll run out there and chase them birds all through the woods. Didn't nobody have to tell her that. You know why? She's a bird dog.
Yeah.
Anybody see where I'm going?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't nobody have to teach you how to point out sin? You know why? You a sinner.
Amen.
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 I mean, I'm telling it right, ain't I?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the stigma of the church. Oh, that's everybody thinks they're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
I want you to know you're in a place this morning where we don't.
Amen.
We a pretty sorry lot. Hey, we may be dressed a little different. We may have cleaned up our act a little bit. Our vocabulary may have changed some, but we're still just a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Amen. Hey, just remember when you're seeing wrong with everybody else, it's because you're so qualified to see it. Amen. It's easy to find fault. I could. You say, well, you don't even know me. I could go eat lunch with you today. I guarantee you I find something wrong. If I want to, or could just enjoy your fellowship. Jesus came on the scene, they found him eating with publicans and sinners. You know what that church crowd did? They went, oh. Hey, look at him. He's over here. He ought to be over here.
Yeah, come on, preacher. Yes, sir. Amen.
He should be over here eating with them sinners. That guy he's having lunch with, he is at the tavern last night. He is down there. Let me put it into our vernacular. He is at Cowboys doing the boot scooting boogie. That's where he was. Jesus, ah, my Lord, he's eating lunch with him. How do you know? He is at Cowboys last night. Well, I saw, oh, yeah. You must have been to the other end of the bar. Y'all all right? It's easy to find fault. Now listen, as they brought this woman, they were pointing out her fault. I want you to notice something. When people set out to find fault in the lives of other people, their motives are never right. They didn't want to help this lady. They wanted this lady dead. They didn't care whether she lived or died. My fault is this. They set her up.
Yeah, come on.
My thought is this. One of the accusers was the one she's in the bed with. Because they did this for no other reason than to set Jesus up. They weren't after her. They were after him. Their motives were never right. When we begin to find fault, if our heart is right and our motive is right, our motive is to help the fault that we find.
Amen.
That's deep right there. If my motives are right and I see you coming out to the grocery store with a buggy full of beer, if my motives is right, it's not to spread your sin around and expose your sin to everybody. My motive would be to pray for you and to help you get past that.
Yes, sir.
If my motives are right.
Amen.
As soon as you see the finger, you know the motive's wrong.
That's right.
As soon as you read the post, is that what they call it? Is it a post? As soon as you read the post, wrong motive. As soon as it's advertised, wrong motive. As soon as somebody's trying to magnify your sin or you're trying to magnify the sin of somebody else for everybody else to see, you're wicked as the day is long. You know, chances are, if you're living in sin, you don't even need me to tell you. 9 times out of 10. Amen. I could have a teenage girl come in here, 16, 17 years old, with her little old belly swelled out to here, no daddy in sight, and I could see that like some of the brethren would, and I'd get up here and preach for about an hour and a half on premarital sex. Y'all don't die on me, I'll preach another hour. That little girl knows she messed up. I'm losing some fans here and hurt. Say again, that little girl knows that was wrong. You know what she needs? Wow. These people care. These people want to help me in my situation. Instead of hearing how wicked I am, she come in and heard about the grace of God and how wonderful He is and how much He loved me, even in my condition. I want to make sure our motives are right. Don't get me wrong, we're not backing off of sin. Never. Adultery, sin. Premarital sex is sin. By the way, homosexuality is sin. We might as well go ahead and get them off. It's not a lifestyle, it's a sin. It's not a sickness, it's a sin.
Amen.
When so-and-so has an illness, he has an addiction. No, he has sin.
Amen.
We're not going to back off from that. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to love sinners.
Yes, sir.
And when they walk in here, we're not going to cover our mouth, point our finger.
That's right.
Amen. Give you my best Joel so you feel better. It's easy to find fault. I'm going to tell you what's hard. Find what's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Find what's good and focus on that. Find what's truth. Find whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure. Amen. Well, that's what's hard to find in this day and age. It's easy to find fault. Let me give you number two, and I'll be done here in just a minute. I promise. It's easy to find fault. Secondly, listen, be careful. When you're finding fault, check your motive. Does it break your heart when you hear bad news? Does it break your heart? I can get in a certain crowd of preachers. I ought to name them. I can get in a certain crowd of preachers, get in one of them camp meetings, get around a table, and somebody said, did you hear about everybody? Some big tale will get told. I knew it. I saw that coming. I hate it, man. It breaks my heart. In order to break all our heart. Amen. When our friends, people we love, people we care about, when they fall into sin, I'm not saying we excuse it. I'm not saying we pat them on the back and say, it's okay, go ahead and do it again. It ain't okay. But we are not. We shouldn't enjoy it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I believe sometimes that's what people get to thinking about the church. They enjoy my misery. No, we don't. It's easy to find fault. Listen, secondly, when you find yourself finding fault, it's easy to forget your own. When you get so busy looking at everybody else's trouble, it's easy to forget your own. No deep, dark doctrine this morning, just a simple thought. It's easy to find fault. Oh boy, they were, they every one had a whole lot to say when they brought this little lady to the Lord. Oh, look at her, look at, didn't Moses say that? You know what they was doing to the Lord? Quoting him scripture.
Yeah.
Quoting him scripture. Let me tell you something. When you again him, that ain't good.
Yeah.
There's another fella tried that in Matthew chapter number 4.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He found Jesus weak at his weakest place in his flesh.
Yeah.
And the Lord's been fasting 40 days, and the devil comes and says, now don't the Bible say, I hate that crowd.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said, yeah, but it also say, about three times of that, the devil said, gotta go. Gotta go, can't handle it. Didn't it also say, man shall not live by bread alone? Jesus answered him three times, with scripture. All three times. It'd do you good to learn you some scripture. Especially that crowd that comes around. I love this. When they come around, Brother Jamie, and they say, well, I don't know where it's at, but I know it says in the Bible somewhere. Oh, hush. Boy, you automatically just made yourself a real authority.
Yes, sir.
Right?
I don't know where it's at, but I know what it says this. And boy, I've heard so much stuff misquoted, twisted around.
Right.
When you find yourself finding fault with everybody else, it sure is easy to forget your own. Jesus didn't even consider the case of the woman.
Right.
If you'll read the text we just read, he didn't answer them.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I could just see him. I can't wait to get to heaven and meet him face to face. He just squatted down. Can you imagine that holier than thou crowd going, what is he doing?
Amen.
And Jesus starts playing in the dirt. What? They were expecting some big discourse on adultery and the punishment thereof. And Jesus just drew something on the ground. I don't say this is biblical, but I just believe he drew an arrow at one of them. That wasn't enough, so they kept on. The Lord said, okay, all right, you're right. That's what the law said. Here's the way we'll handle it. Whichever one of y'all have no sin, go get you a rock. You cast the first stone. You know what that crowd did? They shut up. The Bible said, I love this word. They were convicted. They were convicted. I can't believe so-and-so's even sitting in church this morning.
Come on, preacher.
You're here.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I've had people stop me in the street and say, you really let so-and-so come? Oh, yeah. We let you come too. Matter of fact, you sit right beside them. When we get so busy finding fault, yeah, we've got a problem there, got a problem there, we got a problem. I don't look for problems. They present themselves plenty on their own. Amen. If I spent my time looking for problems, but I'd be a glutton for punishment. I'd be on Prozac. I'd be calling suicide 911, whatever suicide or us, whatever the hotline is. I'd be calling, help me, I'm finna kill myself. I see enough trouble without looking for it. But when we start focusing on everybody's trouble, and this preacher's trouble, and that preacher's trouble, and that church's trouble, or that church member's trouble, or that one's trouble, or that one's trouble, man, I'm sick of hearing it up to here. I don't want our church to be lumped in a group. Just because of what we are and who we are. Yeah. Now, we don't love people.
Amen.
Where they are. Amen. In the situation they're in.
Yeah.
I got a lot of my preacher friends, boy, who would listen to this say, he's gone liberal.
Yeah.
He's gone liberal. No, I ain't. I ain't changed a lick. It's easy to find fault, and as you're finding fault, it's easy to forget your own.
Amen.
Oh, it's so easy to point out somebody that's worse off than I am.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Every time I'd get in trouble growing up, I'd say, at least I ain't doing what Roger's doing.
That's right.
That's right.
Mama said, I can't believe you did it. Well, Roger done worse than that. And Roger was at home telling Bunny. Bunny said, Roger, I can't believe it. Eddie's doing worse than what I'm doing. You know what he did? Took a focus off our own junk and put it on somebody else's. Well, I must be okay if somebody's doing worse than I am.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Well, I tell you what, look at yourself and then look at Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
See where you measure up there.
Amen.
And if you measure up even with that one, point every finger you want. Come tell me everybody in the church's whole problems. Tell me every situation. Tell me every deep, dark thought because you know them too.
Yeah. Amen.
When you measure up where he is, you're more than welcome. I'll give you the floor. I'll give you the pulpit.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus pointed that thing out real quick.
Yes, yes.
What about your own sin?
Yeah. Right.
What about your own sin? There's people in this building this morning I've been praying for. Boy, and I'd love to see them come to the altar, boy, and get some stuff dealt with and get some stuff right.
Amen.
We got people in this church this morning, been in this church for years I've been praying for. I'd love to see them get back where they ought to be and get on fire for God. I'd love it. I'd love it. But you know what's more important? My prayer for them's not even effective if I don't work on my own life. My own situation. I start looking at their fault and I forget about all mine. You okay? Every time I start looking at somebody else's fault, the Lord says,
Amen.
You want me to ride it in the dirt?
Yeah. Amen.
Still got my finger. You need me to draw you a picture?
Yeah.
Nope, got it.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for everybody else's fault, why don't we check and see what's wrong with me?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Why don't we check and see what's wrong with self this morning?
Amen, preacher.
And Instead of sitting there saying, boy, I wish those so-and-so would go to the altar. What about you? When's the last time you come down here and wept because you're sorry for sin in your life? When's the last time you come down here and begged God to forgive you of something? Hey, you know what happened? You got to looking at everybody else's fault and forgot all about your own.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say, that ain't good preaching. I know it. It's easy to find fault. It's easy to forget your own. Let me tell you something else we learn in this passage. There's something else we're pretty easy to find. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Jesus didn't call her a dirty name. I'm a little fed up with preachers who think it's their job to run around the country and call people dirty words.
Yeah. Amen, preacher. Come on.
Some of you are so carnal minded, you're sitting there wondering which word.
Yeah.
Come on. Amen.
You know what he called her? Oh, he addressed her. Woman. Woman, where'd them fellas go? Where's your accusers? What happened to your condemners? I don't know. Well, I'm not going to condemn you neither. The little lady in the same situation at Sychar's well, it's not the same situation, but similar, that he met sitting on the well that day. He never called her a name either.
That's right.
Amen.
Never called her a dirty word.
Right.
He just said, hey, you want some water?
Amen.
I got some. If you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Woo.
That's good.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't even supposed to be seen talking to her. But he told his men, he said, I'm sorry, guys, I must needs go through Samaria.
That's right.
I got to make a detour. They didn't even go with him.
That's right.
A bunch of Gentiles down there. We don't hang out with that crowd.
Right,
I need to go through. I gotta make a little side trip.
Talk about it.
Boy, we ought to be careful. There was a crowd in the Bible he called names. He called them serpents, vipers. He called them snakes. He called them hypocrites. He had all kind of words for them. You know who it was? It was that Sanhedrin. Or in our day, that deacon board.
Yes,
I'm kidding. I got good deacon. Brother Williams back there going, you look like a Sanhedrin, right? I don't know what a Sanhedrin would look. Tommy was smiling. William was going, serpent. That church crowd that looked down their nose at everybody else.
Yeah,
Jesus
right.
said, that's the one he pointed his finger at.
Yes, sir, preacher. Amen, preacher.
That's the one he nailed. But he ate lunch with sinners.
Yeah. Amen.
Go and sin no more. I believe she went home a different way that day than her accusers did.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
They left convicted. I see that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. People leave convicted. We know in our hearts that we need to do business with God, but yet we choose to leave just like we came. Not one of those accusers that we have recorded in this scripture looked at Jesus and went, oh, Lord, you're right. Lord, you're right. They just left. just like they came. But she went home a little different. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. I'm here to tell you, you can find forgiveness right here this morning.
Amen.
Just like I did.
Yeah.
Just like I have many, 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 many times. Amen. I would stretch it. Brother Todd, y'all get us a song ready. I would stretch it as far to say there's probably not anybody in this room don't need to confess something. Wait a minute, I ain't done. There's probably not anybody in this room don't need to confess something.
Uh-huh.
Starting right here. All the way to the balcony. Every deacon. Every Sunday school teacher. Assistant pastor. Amen. Every one of us. Everybody that sang in the choir. Everybody that sang a special. I guarantee you every one of us got some fault. What we'll try doing in the altar call this morning, instead of doing this, let's get down here together this morning and do a little of this. They didn't have to leave accusers that day. They could have left forgiven, just like she did. Let's stand our feet this morning. It's easy to find fault. It's easy to forget our own. And it's easy to find forgiveness. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Nobody looking around. I wonder if there's one here today. Said, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died just like I am, heaven would be my home. If there's really forgiveness for my sins, well, I'd like to leave today knowing I'm forgiven. I wonder if there's one here today. I wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. You just like to slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Preacher, please remember me. How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. I know I am. Ain't no doubt. But I promise you I don't have to look far beyond myself to find fault. I got enough of it on my own. Preacher, pray for me that I wouldn't try and deal with everybody else's, but that I'd come to the Lord and deal with mine. Hands all over this building. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, God, we thank you for a good day. Thank you for the sweet spirit here today. Thank you for the one who's trusted you as their Savior already today. Lord, you're still speaking to hearts and dealing with people. You saw the hands, God. You know every heart. So just have your way in this altar call, and Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Y'all go ahead and sing.